The Child's Child, written by Barbara Vine and read by Finty Williams.
2011. Chapter 1. The book was on the table in front of us, along with the teapot, the two cups and a plate of mince pies. It was a book, and not the manuscript I had expected and, if I'm honest, feared. "Privately printed, as you see," Toby Greenwell said. "Your father had that done himself?" "Oh, yes." He picked it up and handed it to me. Like many such books, it had no jacket, but a shiny cover with a picture of a young girl with pigtails and wearing a gym slip. She was standing in a green meadow, and the title of the novel had been amateurishly done in black letters by someone who was no expert in the art of Times Roman. "When we spoke," I said, "you told me your father had mentioned this book to you, but you never saw it until after he and your mother were dead. He was quite a distinguished novelist. He'd had how many books published?"
12.
"They weren't bestsellers, but they were, well, I think widely acclaimed would be the phrase, don't you?" Toby is not a writer himself and never has been. He is an architect, retired now, and living with his wife and the one remaining child still at home in a house he designed himself in the Surrey Hills. We met in the Highgate house he'd inherited from his mother 6 months before, Victorian Gothic, and not much admired by him, though he grew up there. Martin and Edith Greenwell lived there from sometime in the 1930s, a few years before Toby was born, until Martin and then Edith died. It was there, while going through the contents of the house, all of which now belonged to Toby, that in a bookcase in Martin's study he found the privately printed novel. I asked him if he could remember what his father had said about The Child's Child and the reasons he gave for its having never been published. "My dad told me the title," Toby said, "and that's how I knew what it was. He hadn't said he had it printed and bound and, well, as you see it now." I was surprised, to say the least, but less so when I remembered when he'd told me about it. You have to know that my mother was quite vehemently opposed to any attempts to have it published. I know that from him, not her. Apparently she would never discuss it. I asked Toby if he had spoken to her about it. "Oh, yes, after he was dead. I didn't know about the bound book then. I thought it was somewhere among his papers in manuscript. My mother's comments were memorable. Perhaps you have to remember that she was born in the last years of the First World War, which made her very old when we spoke about the book. What did she say?" "That she had read it, but was too disgusted to finish it. I think it was partly the fact that it was a true story, or based on a true story, someone my father knew. If it were published, none of the people they knew would speak to them again. But she was sure no one would publish it. And she was right. He did try with the company that your brother works for. They had published all his previous books. There were 9 by then. And his editor suggested he make certain changes. The character of Bertie could be made into a woman, for instance. Maud might be 3 years older than she is in the novel. But it was the homosexual element that they objected to. This was 1951. 16 years before the act that made homosexual activity between consenting adults in private legal. I take it your father didn't agree to modify the book?"
"No.
And when you read it, you can see why he wouldn't. I'm no literary critic, but I can see that you have to try and get into the sort of climate that existed then to understand, perhaps, why he wanted to write it and why he wouldn't change it. Hence, private printing. You see, it was not only about getting understanding for homosexuals that he was very keen on, but also about changing the attitude to illegitimacy and what he called unmarried mothers. What would you call them now?" That made me smile. Toby had his naive moments. "Single parents, I should think," I said.